Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. It's so good to see you here this evening. The Lord is here with us. The Word of God says where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst of them. And God is His Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We receive the liberty of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Father, we bless and magnify Your holy name. Have Your way, O God, in our lives. Transform us. Cause us, O God, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. So, Lord, O God, that operating with the mind of Christ, our sovereign Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that which we declare, that which we do, that which we say, that which we act on, will be always according to the leading of Your Spirit, glorifying You and benefiting us in every area. We give You praise, Lord, for the life that we have in You. For it is in You that we live. It is in You that we move. It is in You that we have our being, the fullness of our existence. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You for redemption. Thank You, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank You, Lord, for peace which passes all understanding. Thank You, Lord, that You reign supreme in our lives. Blessed be Your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we decree it so. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we began discussing the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been baptized, the Bible says he came out straight away out of the water. And when he came out of the water, the Bible says the heavens were opened. Hallelujah. And he saw the angel of the Lord, or rather the Holy Spirit of the Lord, come descending and lighting, landing on him. Hallelujah. He was baptized. The word baptism or baptize is the word baptizo. It was a word that was used in the textile industry. I am wearing an outfit right this very moment. Came out of cotton, and there are no green, blue, yellow cotton. You have to dye it. I mean, if you understand that. Now, when in the textile industry, they took wool or whatever it was, and they would dip it inside a dye. And the color of the dye came on the material. So the color of the material now changed and became one with. And that was what baptizo was, identification. Praise the Lord. Amen. So when Jesus was fully identified, and that's important for us to understand, that you cannot deal with your life fully and efficiently without true identity with God. So many people are trying to live a life without the life of God in them. There's an old song we used to sing, I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. Amen? How many of you heard that song? No? I'm the only one? One person over there. The old folks. You need to have identity. Be identified. For the heavens to be open over your life and for God to be able to speak into your life. Jesus had that identification. He was aligned. He was in the will of God. In fact, John the Baptist told him, he said, I can baptize you. Come on, what are you trying to do, man? You're more important than I am. And the response of the Lord is, no, you got to baptize me so that the fullness of the will of God be in alignment. I need to be in alignment with the Word of God. Because you see, in life, you and I are going to be challenged. Listen, trouble comes for everybody. You don't need to go looking for trouble to find you. But if trouble finds you, you better be ready. Hello? If issues come your way, you better be ready, be prepared. Don't be caught unawares. But we are not looking for trouble, but we have to be prepared so that when trouble comes, we are there. And may I say something to you? The trouble that comes your way sometimes may not be engineered by the devil. You're looking at me funny. Listen, let me put it this way to you. Elisha is coming with Elijah. Elijah is about to die. Elisha knows it. Everybody else knows it. And Elisha says to Elijah, stay here in Gilgal. Gilgal was a place of circumcision. And Elisha says to Elijah, no, where am I staying here? I am an obedient servant, but this time I'm going to go with you. So they come to Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. So they were at Bethel. And Elisha says, this is a good place. Stay here, Elisha. Elisha says, not on your life. I'm coming with you. So they come to Jericho. Jericho is a place of fragrance. There are 50 prophets. They are young prophets. And they come just like the people in Bethel, and they tell Elisha, don't you know that today your boss is going to be gone? And Elisha says to them, yeah, I know. What business of that is yours? So he has 50 prophets against them. He has Elijah somewhat against them. And they come to the Jordan. Watch this. So they are in the promised land, Gilgal, Bethel, Jordan. Jordan was where they cross over to come into the promised land. So now they're crossing away from the promised land. They get to the other side, and Elijah says to Elisha, man, what do you want? No, Elisha says, I want a double portion of your spirit. Man of God says, that's a hard thing you've just asked. It's a hard thing. But if you see me being caught up, then you can have it. Okay? All of a sudden, there comes chariots of fire. Chariots of fire. Look at that. Amazing. All this thing is blinged up. And it comes and it separates Elijah from Elisha. That chariot of fire came from God. But the amazing thing was the chariot of fire did not come to take Elijah up. The Bible says he was taken up by whirlwind. So why is there a chariot of fire? It came from God. This was major distraction, but God was trying to determine, if you want my power, you cannot be distracted. You got to be focused. You got to be connected. You got to move with me. And Elijah did not allow the chariot of fire to distract him. He's eyeballing Elijah. And when Elijah takes up with the whirlwind, he cries out. And Elijah had to drop the mantle. And he takes the mantle. The test. Proved Elisha. Worthy. Of the power. To do the works of God. Some of the things that you and I go through are there to qualify us. God knows that you are okay. He knows that you are fully equipped, but are you in alignment? The heavens opened up and God spoke. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He had not done one miracle yet. Not a miracle. No blind eyes yet open. No deaf hearing. No dumb speaking. No lepers cleansed. Nothing. Not a miracle had been performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Except for one thing. He was in alignment. Are you in alignment? Are you connected to God? Such that there is no separation. God wants you and I to be like that. And if you want to be that, then you have to seek first His kingdom and His purposes. Praise the Lord. So the Lord Jesus Christ went through that experience that we talked about today. And there He goes into the wilderness, and the devil comes to Him and says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones and make them bread. But the timing was unique. The timing was the timing of Jesus Christ having fasted for 40 days. He completed the fast. So you say he completed the fast. This was not a temptation that happened on the 30th day or the 20th day. It happened after he'd completed the fast. Sometimes you think the enemy is going to come after you when you're still trying to do what you're supposed to do. No, he waits real quietly until you finished everything so that he can attack you on three fronts. First front, he's hungry. Are you going to turn these stones and make them bread to prove that you're the Son of God? It's the first front. You trying to prove something. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones and make them bread. You're anointed now. You've got grace, 5. New beginnings, 8. It's a new day. Go get it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that this is a temptation, recognizing that, responded. Number one, I'm not listening to you. You don't have the final say. God has the final say. And my Father told me, and I heard it. It was not John the Baptist that came and gave me a prophetic word. You know, brother, when I was just baptizing you just this very moment, oh, I saw something. I saw something. Oh, my God. Heavens opened up. Oh, my. Oh, and I saw this dove, and it came down, and it lighted on your head. And I heard the voice of God, and God said, thus saith the Lord, my son, I am well pleased. It wasn't John who told him that. He heard it. You need to hear the voice of God for yourself so that you know that you know that you know that you know that what you heard is the truth, because God spoke it to you and no man can take this from you. It is good to hear the prophetic word that comes from other people, and there's a place for that. But you have to grow past the point of depending on other people to come tell you what God said. You hear God for yourself, because those people may not be there when you need to hear from God. You have to have an acquaintance, a relationship with God, where you can hear God, you can see for yourself, you can know that you know that you know for yourself. Not out of a position of pride or arrogance, but from a position of alignment with the will of God. If I turn these stones and make them bread, then it will be like me not believing what my Father just told me, that I am his son and that he's well pleased with me. I don't have to prove anything to you. I don't live by bread. I live by the word of God, the rhema word of God that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. That's how I live my life. Amen? Amen? And I shared with you about how God spoke to me many years ago. I was ministering the word, and God spoke to me, says, son, don't turn these stones into bread. And I had a dialogue. I was still preaching like I'm preaching right now, and I'm having a dialogue with the Lord. And he said, these are living stones. They are not your source. Don't depend on them. Look to me. I called you. I provide for you. Amen? And I made a commitment that day before the Lord that if ever I have a challenge, financial challenge or whatever, and I start looking at the church members to find a way to manipulate them so I can get whatever it is that I need, that's the day I step down from pastoring, because that's the wrong place to be. And I shared with you this morning about how God looks at that same passage and says, when my people, the resources, the stones I've given to them to help build, they start turning it to their own personal gain, they are turning stones into bread. And how many people today, they go and God says, that's my tithe, but they use it to go buy something else. Clothes, jewelry, shoes, purse, perfume, car, house, whatever it is. You are turning the stones, the provision of God that He assigned and blessed you with, and you're turning it around and making it just for you. That's the first temptation. Manipulating your environment for your own personal gain. Then we talked about how the Lord was taken up to the holy city. When God to the holy city, He's taken up to the top, the pinnacle of the temple. And I talked about how that was the religious test, where you're spiritual. You've arrived, but the enemy will come and cause you to become casual with your faith. He says, cast yourself down. And God is going to send His angels and they're going to bear you up and you're going to dash your foot against those stones. This is the test where you've come, you're spiritual, everything is so perfect, everything is properly aligned. And the enemy says, listen, you don't have to be that spiritual. Just cast yourself off. And God is going to make certain that you don't dash yourself, your feet against this stone. And so many have fallen for that trap. They feel anointed. They feel called. The power of God is present in their lives. And they are busy living a life of sin. And it seems like everything is going well. How is it that the pastor is fornicating with church members? And he still comes and preaches and miracles still happen. Hallelujah. And he thinks now, hey, look at this. It's grace, the grace of God. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Samson just slept with a prostitute and he comes out and he carries the gate of the city and goes up a mountain and dumps it over there. How is that possible? Because there's a world of difference between the anointing that's resting on your life and the anointing that is inside of you. You need to hone in into that anointing of God that's embedded in you, which is that anointing that is founded on the Spirit of God's love and power. Not just what comes on you, because what comes on you helps you to function and minister to people, but the one that operates inside of you brings forth the character of God. Too many people are acting on the surface, not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit that gives them the impetus to say, thus saith the Lord. The enemy operated, came against the Lord Jesus Christ, and the response of the Lord is this: it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There is a message, a misplaced use of the word of God, the word of grace, that's misused today. And people are acting and doing crazy stuff. Not just, even just in their private life, but they become public with it. I know a man, married, a preacher, an amazing preacher. When he's preaching, you shut up. He's married, comes to his church, and he says to them and to his ushers, take his wife out of the church, and says, the secretary is now his first lady. And the people in the church did not leave. They sat down there and continued as if nothing happened. How do you get that messed up? It's like it said, you're not going to dash your foot against the stone. You see, if you judge your life based on how people respond to you, and you're a man of God, be careful. Because it is not what they say that matters. It is what the word of God says. Does God sanction that act? No. It should be very obvious. But people are just what they are. Many years ago, it was a major scandal, and I'm coming to the third part that I promised you I was going to come to. That's where I'm going to land, the third temptation. There was a scandalous act that happened. It had to do with fundraising and people living a weird lifestyle. This man of God and his wife were accused of living an immoral life and so on and so forth. And the government was after them. So this other man, supposedly he was a preacher too, a drunk, a cigar-smoking minister, he comes on television and says, send me your money. I'm not like those jokers over there. At least you know what you got here. And guess what people did? They sent him money. They sent him money. At least we know this devil. They sent him money. That's not dashing your foot against the stone, but there comes a time when God says, it's time for H-E double hockey sticks. We're going to fix this problem right now. God loves us. Amen? Don't think about, you see, the point I'm trying to make tonight is this. Don't think about the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ as just a unique experience for Jesus. Understand that whatever it is that he was going through was an example of what you and I will go through. That you can be spiritual, be in the holy city, be in the pinnacle, and drop yourself because you do not take your faith as important, and it will look like nothing's happening. So why was I doing all that praying and all that fasting? And miracles are still happening? Hey, let's go for it. It's grace. Oh, praise the Lord for grace. Hallelujah, grace. No. This is not grace. This will result in disgrace. Amen? When you don't align yourself with the word of God, disgrace is going to be ultimately the final result. So the Lord says, you know, the judgment time, the harlots are going to come in, the thieves are going to come in, the people that you think are not going to come in, but you guys, out of here. Because you were as fake as the fake news. You're not coming in. May that never be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. You cannot be in the house of God and be one thing, and when you get home, be something other. You and I need to be led by the Spirit of God and obey the Word of God. It is written. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the Word of God says, again, the devil takes him high up an exceeding high mountain and shows him the kingdoms of the world and shows him the glory of them. This is the shortcut path. And says unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You just prostrate yourself and worship me. I'll give you, hey, Jesus, come on. You came here because you love the whole world, right? Yeah. Okay. We don't need to waste the time. I'll give you everything you came here for. You want all of this? It's yours. You can have it. The only thing I want you to do is bow down and worship me. Yes. Just bend over just a little bit. Okay? I see you are upright. You are upright, Jesus. Upright, Jesus. You walk uprightly. Hallelujah. You are amazing. I really like your style. But just bend your head just a little bit. Just like that. That's all. You don't have to go all the way down. Just a little bit. A little bit. Just a little sin here. Just a little worship here. And I'll give it to you. And there are people who have sold their souls for a quick buck, notoriety, fame, whatever it is. Everything they touch turns out to be gold. But there is a payment. When you follow the shortcut to get success, the enemy will always come with a shortcut. You don't have to go to the cross. Why you do? Come on. Let's make a deal. Nobody else. Hey, Jesus. Nobody's here. It's just you and me. Up this high mountain. Just the two of us. Just nod your head a little bit and we'll be okay. Nobody knows, just me and you. Huh? Who's it going to hurt? What the one is going to hurt is me, and the fact that I know that God, my Father, sees all things and is everywhere present, and what he sent me here to do is not to come get the glory of the world. What he sent me here to do is to save everyone. Every lawful captive needs to be saved, and they're not going to be saved if I'm worshiping you. What are you willing to do so that others come to salvation? When you offered the shortcut, everything you've got is right here. You can have it, no struggle. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go to the cross. Just bow to me, and I'll give you everything. But if I give you everything, and I have worshipped you, then I have changed allegiance. No longer is God the Father Lord over all. Now Satan becomes Lord. You must ask yourself the question. I must ask myself the question. This decision that I'm about to make, who is going to be Lord of all? Who is going to be Lord? Who's going to be in charge? Who's going to be in control? Now, the response of the Lord Jesus Christ is remarkable. But before I go to that response, I want you and I to remember this, that temptations are real. And the temptations of Jesus Christ were real. It wouldn't have been real if there were in the possibility of him blowing it. So he chose not to blow it. Amen? He made a decision. Overcoming temptations is based on proper decisions. And what is that decision that must be consistent? Is God going to be pleased? Will God be pleased? Will God be pleased? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The just shall live by how? By faith. The Word of God says that we have to have the breastplate of love and faith, which is the righteousness of God. The challenge that you and I face on a daily basis is the challenge of whether we're going to walk in faith, by faith, through faith. Because that's ultimately what pleases God. And what is this faith? Ultimately, faith is obedience to the word of God. Did I lose you there? Faith is obedience to the word of God. You obeying God and everything around you obeying God. That mountain move, obeying God. You cancer leave, obeying God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So, hey, kidney, you're fixed. If you don't want to praise God, get out and be replaced, because God has parts. Hallelujah. Praise God. My walk in faith is my obedience to the word of God. And remember what the Lord taught us many years ago. Every word of God is a command to be obeyed. Every word of God. And so when I operate by the authority of that word of God being obeyed, I am operating in faith. I do not bow down to my circumstance and start looking for plan B and plan C. That's a good way to live a defeated life. The word of God must not return void. It must accomplish what it is sent for. I declare in Jesus' name, I am walking in divine health and peace. And my head goes, "Thing, what are you talking about?" I said, "I am walking in divine health." Thing, and I am walking in divine health. Thing, I am walking in divine health. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Because you are standing on the everlasting word of faith. Glory be to God. You hearing? You receiving it? Amen. So the word of God says, all temptations are common to men. It's all common. First Corinthians 10 and 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. We're going to come to the response that we need to have in just a moment. And this is a powerful one. It says, "There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is what? God is faithful. He is a greater one that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen? It says, any temptation that's taken people over is common. It's a common thing. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able." In other words, if you think that the temptation that you are going through is such a humongous one, that's how humongous the faith of God is in your capacity to handle it. Let me state it again, just in case it went past. If you're going through a temptation that you think is so huge, so humongous, so difficult, God must have faith in you and in the capacity that is inbuilt in you to overcome that temptation. So the vote of confidence of God is what is allowing you to overcome that. Did you get it this time? God knew what he had invested in Job, even though Job did not know what God had invested in him. And God was the one who caused problems for Job. Because God was the one who said, "Hey, check my boy out, look at that guy." And the devil says, "Yeah, of course. What we're talking about here. You're protecting him all over. You're blessing him all over. Of course, he will act like that. Take the things he's got away from him. And I promise you, that guy is going to curse you." But he did not know that God had invested in him. But God was trying to protect Job also, because Job was speaking out of his mouth foul things, and saying, while he was bringing sacrifices to God, he was sacrificing because he believed that his children must have messed up. They might have blown it. And he was confessing, and the hedge of protection that he had was being weakened. And the devil is always checking those hedges. And before the devil could find out the weak spot, God says, "Ah, you can go there, you can mess with him, but you cannot kill him. Because when the enemy comes," what does the Lord Jesus Christ say in John 10? That the devil is a what? Come on, talk to me. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah? Okay. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. And if the enemy ever has access to you, he will accomplish those three things. He will first of all steal from you. He will kill you. And he will destroy anything that concerns you and wipe your history off. You can go, but you cannot kill him. So the devil comes, wipes out in one day, bad news, children gone, wealth gone, and finally comes at him and attacks his body. Attacks his body, he's sick, boils all over, but leaves the wife. The wife is perfectly okay. And after a while, the wife comes and says, "Hey, listen, just curse God and die." It's very simple. All you need to do is, "I curse you, God." That's all you need to do. But a man says, even though he slays me, yet will I serve and trust him. He messes, destroys everything. But at the end of it all, God brought him double for his trouble. Hallelujah. But God was trying to protect him, to put the line on the enemy, to make sure that that enemy does not kill, steal, and destroy Job. If God had not put that line, Job would have been a goner. May God always protect you, and may God draw the line on the enemy in Jesus' mighty name. He says, you're not going to be tempted beyond that which you're able, but that God, watch this, with the temptation. Somebody say, with the temptation. Say it again, with the temptation. Hallelujah. So the temptation is there, but with the temptation, God also provides a way to escape so that you are able to bear it. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I have what I need to deal with life, whichever way it comes, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 16. Where does this time go? 1 John 2, 16. It says, for all that is in the world, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God intends and wants you and I to abide. We are not temporary. We have eternity embedded in us. Somebody shout hallelujah. Every other thing is temporary. The troubles, temporary. The pleasure, temporary. The gain, temporary. The confusion, temporary. God puts everlasting life inside of you because you will outlast every problem. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. You know the Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7, and I'm coming for the landing, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies, praise the Lord, to be at peace with him. What I'm about to share with you now about that third temptation of the Lord that he went through is powerful. There is a secret key here that you and I need to tap into. Because this key is the key that turns the table on the enemy. Let's go back to the passage in Matthew 4. Jesus has been tempted, he's been shown the kingdoms and the glory of them. Then the Lord says unto him, get thee hence, get out of here, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil is showing him the kingdoms, and Jesus, our Lord, responds to him. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus is given a name that is above every other name, and every knee must bow before him, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, the Word of God says that we have Jesus in us by faith. Is that true? The Word of God says that when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are rooted and grounded in love, abiding in love, in Ephesians chapter 3, it is very, very clear in the Word of God that the Lord, the Father, will come, the fullness of the Godhead will come and dwell in us. Is that the Word of God? That when we know the love of Christ, that passeth knowledge, that will be filled with all the fullness of God. And every knee bows to that name. Every knee bows to the authority of God. But that God is the one that is living inside of you. Are we together? Are we together? Are we sure? He says, get, you only worship God and you only serve God. Guess what? When you speak with authority that word to the enemy and say, listen, this is what you're going to do. You turn the table on the enemy and your enemy begins to serve you. Oh, okay, okay. Let me go another way. The Bible says that we no longer know Jesus Christ after the flesh, and we should know no man after the flesh. And then says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, that man is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And it says that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation and has made us his ambassadors. Yes? That we are ambassadors. Some say, I'm an ambassador. Say it again, I am an ambassador of Christ. Now, being an ambassador means that you were not born in the earth realm. None of us were born in the earth realm. We were born from above. Praise God. Every good, every perfect gift proceeds from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us. We were born again of an incorruptible seed from above. So we are then qualified because we're born in the heavenlies. But our walking in the earth will become his representatives or his ambassadors in the earth. Can we accept that so far? Now, that means then that as an ambassador, you are provided for by your government. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We accept that. As an ambassador, you are protected by your government. And anybody that messes with the ambassador is messing with the nation that that ambassador came from. We accept that. So you're protected by your home government. You are provided for by your home government. You eat the food of your home government if you want to just order in. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the remarkable thing about ambassadors is that they are not only protected by their home government, but the government of the nation that they are functioning in has to protect them also. Because if they are not protected, it is war with the home government that sent that ambassador. So the ambassador of the United States of America in Canada is not only protected by the United States of America, but is protected by the Canadian government. Will we accept that? Guess what? I'm an ambassador. If you don't know that you have spiritual immunity, the devil will drag you down the street. But when you recognize, hey, I've got God inside of me. I'm a God carrier. The fullness of God is inside of me. I am an ambassador of the Most High God. Then the devil also has to make sure that you are protected. I don't know if you're getting it. I mean, the devil has to make sure. Don't mess with him. He knows who he is. If you don't know who you are, the devil will mess with you morning, noon, night, evening plus. But when you know who you are, you can shut down that lying devil. In the name of Jesus, as a representative of the Most High God, move it. You don't mess with me. I mess with you. The Word of God says that God will cause us to receive hidden treasures in dark places. Guess what? Wherever the enemy, like a squirrel, went to hide your stuff, he's going to go dig it up and bring it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The blessings of God are bestowed upon my life and on your life. We know our rights. God uses agents of darkness to help us. Once upon a time, there was a woman called Rahab. You know her? Did God use her? Of course. Then there was a raven that fed the prophet. Ravens are unclean birds. God will use your enemies to bless you. Capish? I have God in me. You serve me. I'm not here to be under your thumb. You are under my feet. Do you receive it? It is a knowledge that you and I need to have. Recognizing our authority in Christ Jesus. And when we do that, because our ways please the Lord, enemies begin to serve us. Question. Do you know your right? Do you know who you are? Do you know what God has invested in you? Don't cheapen it by making the wrong decision. On cheapening it. And you've heard what by the Spirit of the Lord I've challenged us concerning about the years that we have stepped into. What I'm saying to you right now is going to be very, very needful. Know who you are. Because if you don't, you'll be part of the statistic. Where the word of God says, many in the last days will fall away and their love will wax cold. Just around the time COVID came around, I said to us, don't take the government's money. Do you remember me saying that? Yeah. I pounded it over and over. Don't take their money. God is your source. There were churches, there were organizations, there were individuals that were grabbing for the government's money as much as they can get. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. We said no to all of it. But at the same time, God said, I want you to renovate and change things here in the church. And we did not take one of their dime. And we got everything done. Was that not the goodness of God? Now, those people that took money, that they have been asked to pay it back. I thought it was free. You can have it. Yeah. Now, the government says, we broke. Give us our money back. Well, that was a shortcut. That was the easy way. Don't buy into the lie of the enemy, because the enemy is going to show you stuff and says, yeah, here, take this. It's okay. It's okay. Times are hard. We're here to help. He said, Ronald Reagan, the president of the United States, once said one of the most dangerous words you can ever hear is when the government says, we're from the government and we're here to help you. Don't buy into that. That's trouble. I'm saying the same thing. When they come offering you goodies, remember to whom you belong. Amen? Don't say, praise the Lord, this is the answer to prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I was just praying about this, and look at this, look at this, look at that. If God did not tell you by His Spirit that He's making that man, or listen, not everything that's coming your way is from God. Some of it might be just an entrapment. Hear from God. The key thing to everything we've said so far, as I wrap now, is this. Key thing is, obey God, hear His voice for yourself. Pass what somebody else said. The Bible says there was a young prophet that was sent of God. Go over to that city, I think it was Bethel, and tell them that judgment is coming. And when you get there, don't stay in there. Just leave the word and go. Don't even come back the same way you came. Just keep on going. Go full circle. So he did. And the king stretched his hand, you know, to judge him. And his hand froze. And when the king found out, my hand is frozen because I pointed, you know, to this guy, he started to beg, please help me. Will you please just free me? I made a mistake. Let my hand come back. I cannot be walking around like this, you know. And when I go to bed, I'm like this. Please. The prophet says, okay, hands back. His hands comes back. He says, come eat at my place. And he, no. Yeah, I got some good dainties. We'll kill the fatted calf and you. Listen, all the chicken, all the goats, all the cow, all the, you know, whatever that you want, it's all yours. In fact, I will package you properly and send you off with cartloads of stuff. He says, I'm not eating anything here, I'm going that way. So he leaves. And an old prophet from that same town comes, and his kids are telling him about this young prophet that came and did amazing miracles, you know, manhandled the king and put him in his rightful place. And say, where's the guy? He says, he left. He didn't stay. You know, he left. Where did he go? He went that way. So he goes after him, finds the young prophet, and says to the young prophet, wow, I heard the amazing miracles that happened through you today. To God be the glory. Listen, come home with me. Come eat, you know, settle down, and then we'll send you off. The young prophet says, I can't do that. Why can't you do that? God said I should not stay. So, oh, but I heard from the Lord. The angel of the Lord came to me and told me that you can come back. He looks at the guy and says, this guy has been around for a long time. So the prophet went back, not on the basis of what God said, but what a man said that an angel said. So he goes back. And while he's sitting down and put the first bite of steak, nice steak, wow, I'm so glad I really need this. The old prophet stands up and says, man, you dead meat. What are you talking about? You are finished. You're going to croak today. What are you talking about? A lion is going to kill you. Why? Because you didn't obey the voice of God. The same man who told him to come back is now prophesying, and he's prophesying the truth. The most important thing you can do for yourself in this last of the last days is learn how to hear from God yourself. If anything, my assignment is to help God's people have a personal connection with God. You're sitting down somewhere and nobody's challenging you to grow up. You're in the wrong place. You're dead meat. You're going to be finished. I can assure you that. You need to be somewhere where you're hearing what God is saying and you are growing in maturity, getting to know who you are in Christ Jesus, not some funny story. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, it is in you that we live. It is in you that we move. It is in you that we have our full existence. Without you, we can do nothing. Today, we come to our rightful positions and we declare that in every realm, we will rule and reign in Christ Jesus. Our faith is in you. And that faith came because we heard your word, and our capacity to hear came about because of your word that is activated in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of discernment. Thank you, Lord, for the awareness, O God, of knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that with you we are more than conquerors. With you in our lives, we are greater. For greater are you in us than he that is in the world. That with you, O God, joined with you, that we become the majority. For one with God is a majority. That we recognize, O God, that you are our source and our resource, that you are our helper at all times. Lord, O God, build your church. Lord, O God, let that which you have invested in us be activated. So, Lord, O God, that we become the ones that terrorize and traumatize the enemy every moment. That Father, oh God, as we rest, oh God, the favor of your awesome power, the fire of your glory is burning. Oh Lord, oh God, and in the name of Jesus Christ, strongholds are being destroyed and lives being renewed. Do in us and with us great and mighty things in these wonderful days of victory that you've ordained for us to operate in. Blessed be your holy name. We surrender our lives to you. We say yes and amen to your will and to your word. Your kingdom, Lord, let it come and your purposes be fulfilled now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible concludes concerning the temptation of the Lord that the devil, when Jesus says, get out of here, left him for a season. But that the angels of God came and ministered to him. Can you imagine angels showing up, a la carte, what do you want to eat? And Jesus chowed down. The Bible didn't tell us what he ate. Maybe he ate some angel's fruitcake, I don't know. But he ate up and returned with power. May you and I be empowered, for God crowns us with his glory. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. God calls us to honor him with our tithes, with our offerings, with vows, with first fruits, all the many ways. We've learned in this house that when God caused us to come alive, when God created man, he breathed into man. And we learned that what he breathed into man were his words. Amen? But we've also learned that when God, you know, you cannot only just breathe out, you've got to breathe in. Yes? And we learned that when God breathes in, there are two things he breathes in. Two. One scent is the scent of your prayers and your intercession, and the other is your offerings. Let's give God a good breathing in today. Let's release a good offering unto him. Amen? God bless you. Do I have anyone on Zoom tonight? This screen is not acted properly. but while we check on that, okay, I see.